Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, the Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the Foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. Please go to the website, foundationathearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
My name's Chris Canfield. I'm Vice President of Virginia Tourism Corporation. We do the Virginians for Lovers campaign, over 50 years old. And this weekend, it's especially relevant for Virginians for Music Lovers.
So it's older than you then, huh?
Well, you're aging me here a little bit, Tom. It's close.
neck and neck.
Yeah.
So are you a Virginian by birth?
I'm from West Virginia, other Virginia, and I crossed the border about 20 years ago and fell in love with Bristol, Virginia when I came over here. It reminded me of so many friends and family back in West Virginia, but the music heritage is what really drew me here, and it's alive in the hills. You have the heritage, but it's a living heritage, and you see it everywhere in Bristol, and I can't love this town enough.
Well, I saw a logo yesterday. I'm used to Virginia's for Lovers, and all of a sudden I look, I go, what? It says Virginia's for Music Lovers.
Right.
I went, oh, they're dialing it in.
Hey, I mean, what better place? I mean, if you think about this, this might sound a little quirky, but if you think about it, since 1927, music has been bringing people to Bristol and bringing people together. So you had, you know, the 1927 Bristol Sessions, which Johnny Cash said, most important sessions in country music history. Mm-hmm. And you had the Carter family come out of it, Jimmy Rogers.
30-second backstory on the sessions on why they came here in
1927. Right, right. So, you know, country music was called hillbilly music back then. And Ralph Peer out of New York actually came down here looking for hillbilly music, and so he had Pop Stoneman bring some people down here, and they came to Bristol. They put an ad in the paper that, you know, they were trying to buy some songs, and it turned into the most important recording sessions in country music. And what's super cool about that is for all the young female artists out there, and I know, you know, there's a lot of female country artists that really should be getting their dues, and we should be doing more for them. If you think about this, Vince Gill said this in 1927, you know, Mother Maybelle came out of the 1927 Bristol Sessions. Mm-hmm. How cool is it when the most influential guitarist of all time is a woman from 1927?
And think about just that collision, that karmic connection that it didn't have to happen. You know, there was some convergence of time and place and technology.
Yeah, I mean, it was a mobile recording studio, and they set up for a couple of days, set up for a week down here in Bristol, and the artists just came in. The music is still relevant today. I mean, I was talking to some people the other day, and they're like, oh, it's this twangy music. I'm like, do you like Nirvana? They're like, yeah, like, have you heard this song? I'm like, do you know that actually Lead Belly also played it? And then a number of people call In the Pines, and it's also the longest train I never saw. So it has its roots even before 27, but was one of the songs recorded in 1927 under this Ralph Peer session. So very rich history, but what's cool about Bristol is it's still alive. If you're here for Rhythm and Roots, 120-some artists in 22 stages, the whole town just celebrates this music heritage, and it's so exciting to be here.
That's so cool. One-stop shopping, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the first time I came here, I was looking for a friend, and they're trying to find their stage, and they're actually in a Chinese restaurant playing behind the buffet. I mean, there's stages everywhere you turn. There's a stage and there's live music being played, and it's authentic. It's these young artists. If you look at how many artists started and have gone through Rhythm and Roots, it'll blow your mind to see where they are now. I mean, Tyler Childers played here years ago, Jason Isbell.
Wow.
So it's a good place to see some up-and-coming artists, and then they come back when they're established as well. I think you were talking to S.G. Goodman earlier. Oh, my gosh. Her set yesterday was amazing.
Really?
Can't wait to see her again today.
I'm ready. Yeah.
Lots of just everywhere you turn, there's live music, but it's authentic artists playing that roots music and then even going beyond now.
I think it's fascinating, too, because it's big stars on the stage, and yet you can come up and talk to them.
Yeah.
I mean how cool is that?
It's a great vibe, and, you know, the community comes up. They're very accessible. I was shooting with a Polaroid Instant once.
I saw you.
Yeah. And the artists, you know, if you're in some fancy city or some big concert, they'd probably, like, kick you out of the photographer's pit. They're, like, embracing it. They're like, come closer. You know, can I get a copy of that? But the artists also team up a lot here, too. I saw, you know, Tanya Tucker play last night, and the War and Treaty went out and sang with her. I mean, there's just a good vibe of it's not commercial. It's real. It's real fun. It's real music. And I think it's just a magical, magical 3 days here in Bristol.
How cool. Okay, let's shift into fourth gear now and talk about the bigger picture, Virginia. I have my personal bias. If you said you had to move from where I am now, Virginia would be on top of my list.
Well, let's just end the interview right there. I can't top that. That's about as good as it gets, partner. No, Virginia, it's there's so much to do here, and I don't want that to sound cliche, but you know, we have wine country, over 300 wineries. We have the mountains, but we also have the ocean. We have the Eastern Shore, which is this great little, you know, area over there on the coast.
Well, I think that's it. It's so central.
Yeah.
I mean, you can even get to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I live in Richmond, and I can hop on Amtrak and be in D.C. in an hour, 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Or I could hop in my car and go to the mountains and go skiing. Or I could go a little bit farther and come over here to Bristol. So you're right. It's very accessible to other places, but also in Virginia, you have so much going on. And what we're seeing a lot is people pairing things up. So during the pandemic, we saw outdoor recreation go through the roof, which everybody did.
Right.
You know, you didn't want to go in the big cities, but you wanted to go out, exercise, mental health. But now outdoor recreation's still going strong, but now you team it up with, you know, music or, you know, art or culinary stuff. So we got a lot to do here. We got some game going on here in Virginia, and
some lessons learned too.
Yes,
kind of that reset, you know, that opportunity to.
Yeah, the pandemic was brutal. I've been in travel and tourism for about 3 decades. So I've seen a lot, but
so you
I've never
started
seen
in
any...
junior high then.
Yeah, you were nice, but I've never seen anything like the pandemic that was just shut everything down for so long. But it challenged us, and that's what we all said. You know, we all worked harder because we at Virginia, you know, we're here to serve our industry. So we're working 12-hour days and 7 days a week to help those keep these businesses open. But a lot of things came out of it to where you had to shift how you would think and how you would serve customers. And we, you know, the whole industry's still going through that challenge with a worker shortage. People are being polite. So, yeah, the tourism industry in Virginia is just booming. It's coming back. We do have some challenges with workforce issues, but people are understanding that. And it's just, you know, when you're packing your suitcase, pack some patience and then have a good time. Yeah. I mean, if you can't have a good time in Virginia and if you can't have a good time in Bristol, then you just need to start thinking about what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right. I love it. Okay, a little bit more projects you're working on, visions. And
so what's exciting is we work with communities on how to develop their towns and cities to be more visitor friendly. So when you build a town for visitors and you're building art spaces and music halls and really cool farm to table restaurants, when you're building it for the visitors, you're also making a better place to live, work, and play. So you're making it better for the residents if you do it right. So that's what we do is we work with a lot of communities. We're working with 37 right now for 5-year development plans on do you have enough boutique inns? Do you have really cool restaurants? Do you have cool art spaces? Do you have live music? Are you open on Sunday? If you want the weekend traveler, just make sure it's not Saturday. Make sure it's Saturday and Sunday.
Right, right.
So we do a lot to where we work with communities all over the state to try to prepare and make sure their experience is good here in Virginia. So, you know, tourism marketing, half of the coin is you do the ads, and we do the Virginia for Lovers ads. But the other half of that coin is to make sure when you're here, you have a pretty good experience, and you want to tell your friends, and you want to bring them back. And that's what Bristol is just a perfect example of. You come here, they've told you you're going to hear music, they've told you there's going to be all these things, and you go through the experience, and just the food trucks alone you'll have. I think I've gained 10 pounds just from yesterday, but that experience factor is really a key part of marketing that a lot of people don't understand. Mm-hmm. You have the invitation, but you got to follow it up with a fantastic experience. And I think that's where you see the real destination marketing organizations focusing on both sides of that coin.
Yeah. And even, you know, going across the border, that Bristol area, I recommend as a great base camp. Right. I mean, I came from Knoxville.
Yeah.
And that was less than 2 hour drive.
Right.
And this great Smoky Mountains. I mean, so many places that you can see and do.
Right. Now, you nailed it. You nailed exactly what we work on is it's called hub and spoke.
Mm-hmm.
You find your lure, and that's that hub.
Yep.
And then you spoke it out and say, okay, I'm coming to Bristol, but maybe then I'm going to go over to the casino, or maybe I'm going to go fishing in the South Holston, or maybe I'm going to ride my mountain bike and go over to the Creeper Trail, which is an amazing trail in Abingdon. So you find that lure, and then you spoke it out, you know, with about five really cool spokes.
But each one of the spokes literally can be a day trip.
Oh, yeah.
And then come back to your hotel in Bristol in the evening.
And Tom, the cool thing, you nailed it. The cool thing about that is you usually have an expectation for that lure. Mm-hmm. But it's that unexpected spoke that you're like, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize the Creeper Trail was such a great, you know, mountain bike trail to ride on. Or I didn't know that fishing was so awesome in South Holston. It's that unexpected spoke that really takes a vacation over the top. So when we're working with these communities, we say, what's your lure? And then we're like, spoke it out, six little spokes.
Mm-hmm.
And what's an unexpected one that'll blow somebody's mind that says, okay, they weren't expecting this, but it's a really good time, and hopefully they'll come back.
Oh, I love it. To learn more about your world.
Yeah, come to our, we're all over social media. It's Virginia's for Lovers. And then virginia.org is our website. So we have our blogs there, and we have trip recommendations. So virginia.org is sort of where to plan your trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're all over everything from TikTok to YouTube to Instagram to, you know, your typical social media.
What works the best for you guys social media-wise today?
It really depends on the audience. You know, baby boomers are big on Facebook. Younger generation, you're going to have Instagram, TikTok start off young, but everybody's on TikTok now. So it's really depending on how we're doing that market segmentation.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to do just a mix of most of it. But if you're going after one demographic, then we focus on what channel. The best thing to do is probably go to virginia.org, and then you can see what channels we have and try that.
But, and then you have your day trip planners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your trip ideas, day trips. Mm-hmm. You can go by the regions. We have 10 regions in here. So all of them are, you know, are unique and have interesting things, from outdoor recs to hikes to bikes to, you know, Northern Virginia, which is just across the river from D.C. So you have a lot of diversity in Virginia just through this state.
And one more little thing. A friend of mine just called. I'm in the California State Guard. And he goes, oh, my God, get me something to do with the Civil War from Virginia, a T-shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
One moment on that trail, because that's really cool.
Well, the Civil War trail's amazing. And this is what is really, and I don't mean to sound too promotional here, but if you're a history lover, I mean, this is like the trifecta, if even not more. I mean, it started here for European peoples coming over. You know, the Native Americans were here. But from Jamestown to colonial time to Civil War to civil rights, I mean, if you love history, we've got everything from Jamestown to Monticello to the Civil War. So there's a lot of trails that you go through here. And when people hear history, you think of that typical history. But if you look at heritage, it opens it up, and this is going to bring it full circle to our conversation. Look at the music heritage. So history and heritage just doesn't have to be, you know, skirmishes or, you know, or this stuffy history. You're like, oh, you know, history. You know, young people are like, I don't want to learn about that. Well, you really do. But if you caught heritage and then you tie in music history, then all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's pretty fascinating. 1927 set the tone for, you know, Mother Maybelle and the Carter Scratch on how to play guitar for country music. And
well, even looping back to S.G. Goodman, we were talking about her roots, and ultimately you're talking about Scots-Irish,
yeah,
right? Yeah. And just that classic immigrant trail that led to Virginia and Kentucky and whatnot.
And I think a lot of people are starting to get more passionate about their heritage. And so that's where you have the history parts becoming more exciting to the younger generation, which is great because you should always know your history, you should learn your heritage, and you should have a wide open, wide eyes about all kinds of history. So it's pretty fascinating time to jump into history and heritage and see what you thought you knew and then find out what you didn't know. And it's a fascinating time. And Virginia's got so much, from music heritage to presidential heritage to civil rights, civil war to revolutionary heritage. So
love it. Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
What?
Praise the Lord.
You want me to say amen?
And my name is.
Okay. I just say amen.
Encore, encore. All right, amen. All right.
For more information about Virginia travel and tourism, you can go to virginia.org. And my name is Chris Canfield with Virginia's for Lovers.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
And my name is Tom Wilmer, reporting from Bristol, Virginia, and Tennessee. We'll see you here.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
And their jubilee and see them spend their lives to bid for none of it.